Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show.
It may well possess a rudimentary intelligence.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Felt a great disturbance in the force.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ray.
Come on, Mark, like a dog for me.
Where's the goodies?
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
I bet you wouldn't have done anything like this if Mom and Dad were here.
You filthy criminal.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Here are your hosts, Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
John Denver and George Burns in...
Oh, God.
I thought you didn't believe in me.
That's just an expression.
I'm more than that. I want you to spread the word. There I am. I exist.
Well, we certainly exist here on Everything Old is New Again. This is Douglas Viviani with the ever wondrous, maybe, David Cohen.
Wondrous, yes.
How about that? It was a little clip there from Oh God, George Burns, John Denver, 1977. And I play that just to get us in the feel here, because once again, we're visiting with a renowned psychic medium, George Anderson. We've been eavesdropping on some lucky listeners who've been receiving readings and messages from beyond, from friends and family. This week, we continue with a series of this, I would call it, fascinating peek into the hereafter.
Sure.
David, maybe you just give us a little catch-up if anybody hasn't acknowledged or understand who George is.
Sure.
Give us a little piece of the pie.
Absolutely. Since suffering a near-fatal illness at the age of six, George Anderson has had a special relationship with souls in the hereafter who depend on his ability to bring peace and comfort to their grieving families. George has conducted more than 35,000 sessions and is the most scientifically tested medium in the world. He's earned the respect and acclaim of those in the scientific, medical, and religious fields, and in 1987, his book, We Don't Die, became the first bestseller by a medium. His books have sold more than 1 million copies worldwide. Welcome, George.
Thank you.
We have our next listener. We won the contest here from California. We're just going to say L, and L, are you ready and raring to go?
Yes, I am.
Okay, immediately a male presence comes in with two females. All right, let me begin as they did. A male came forward, so I take you understand, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, but I'll be honest with you, those two females are pushing too, understood?
Yes.
Yeah, because, I mean to laugh, but they kind of made their presence known that they're pushing forward at the same time. So in essence, it's as though three people are coming forward. Now, one female definitely does come in a motherly manner, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Actually, another one does too. Wait, one state she is mom, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, because she is, that's why I was hearing mom called. She is identifying herself as your mom. I don't know what to do with this because this can have different meanings, but don't help me. I saw Gloria written in front of me. Gloria can also be a representation of the hearing of some sort of happy or joyous news and the blessing that follows. Now, it may not be happening tomorrow, but up ahead in family, there are symbols that are showing like the hearing of some sort of joyous or happy news up ahead. I don't know if she means her own or grandchildren, but like a younger generation affecting. But at least it's definitely something joyful, because after the Gloria comes the word grace, which would be symbolic of the blessing. So I'll leave it with you that when it comes to pass, I'm sure you'll understand what she was talking about.
Now, I do understand.
Oh, okay. That's swell then. Because the thing is, it doesn't, you know, I didn't want you to think this is something 50 years from now. It's up ahead, but your mom did seem to be confident about it. And that's why I was trying to make sure that confidence was understood. Also, for whatever reason, don't explain, but your mom certainly blesses you for being good to her prior to her passing.
Yes, I understand.
And definitely hopes on a realistic point of view. You also recognize there was only so much you could have done.
Yes.
Yes. Just wants to make sure you know she's not disappointed in you.
Good.
Your hands were tied symbolically. There was only so much you could do. She keeps emphasizing to me, and I know this sounds very general, but I can't blame her for it, but she keeps emphasizing she's back to her old self. Understood?
Yes.
There's real depth to that. I'm being a cynic here, saying, well, yeah, that's nice. Anybody could say that. But she said, she actually got a little feisty with me. She got, you know, excuse my language, but she got a little pissy with me. She said, yeah, but it's not going to you. It's going to my daughter. There's purpose behind what I am saying, that she's back to her old self, which, as she brings up further, was one thing that was very heartbreaking for you, is that she said she was kind of losing it. Understood? And that, of course, was very heartbreaking, especially since there was nothing you could do about it.
Yes.
She also wants to make sure you feel you did not abandon her. Understood?
Yes, I do.
You know, all these things, she says it's important that if she's going to have this opportunity through the grace of the divine presence to reach out to you, she certainly wants to clear the air. I couldn't help but smirk here because she said, you don't know my daughter. She thinks everything the wrong way. And the thing that's interesting about it is, if your mom had an axe to grind with you, you'd hear about it. The bottom line is, as your mother states, this is even this experience, this is no cure for grief. You're still going to wish your mom were here physically, but she hopes that as long as you know she's all right and back to her old self, it'll take some of the bite off.
Yes, I understand.
And yet she could be a tough old bird, yes?
Yes.
Because wasn't ready to quickly throw in the towel until things really became out of her control, basically. She also admits, I don't mean to laugh, but she says she could do it blindfolded now, but she does admit she was a little nervous about passing. And that was another reason she becomes like a rock in a hard place. It's like, I can't turn back and go back to my old self, but I'm afraid to move forward because I don't know what's going to happen. And as she states, now that she's done it, that's why she joked at me, she could do it blindfolded. In essence, as your mom states, and this is somebody who can say this because she's learned it for herself. There's nothing to fear but fear itself. She says people are afraid of what will lead up to the transition of death, not really afraid of the actual transition. She says that's like going from one room to the next. And she even jokes at you, you can practice at home by walking from one room to the next and telling yourself, I just died. She also comments she has come in dream. Because you feel you don't get enough significant signs from her, you start thinking the wrong way. And
I understand.
So as she brings up, don't look so hard for signs that you actually may overlook. But she brings up your dad too, yes?
Yes.
Because she talks about dad being with her. So I take it your dad passed on too.
Yeah.
Because she talks about the two of them being together. Don't read into this, but your dad feels he could have been closer. Understood?
Yes.
He wasn't the lovey-dovey, touchy-feely type. But as your dad states, he just wants to make sure you know he always loved you and still does. Your mother did bring up pets that passed, yes?
Oh, yes.
Because she does bring up about them being there with her as like term of endearment children / grandchildren. They actually came to her first when she passed on, which I'm always glad to hear. Because what do? They're very comforting, soothing, very therapeutic. The animal's presence was very soothing and comforting for her. There's also talk of loss of a brother. You might not know but this person, but did hear the name Anne or Annie, understood? I'll leave it with you if you're not sure. She kind of figured you wouldn't instantly know, but if you do recall, it does seem to be there with your mom.
Okay, I understand.
Sounded like she said Anne or Annie. It's very nice on your mother's part. You've been worried about her being all right. She's more worried about you being all right. So she says, again, know that she's all right in a happy place, and she hopes you'll do your best to be all right and put yourself in a happy place and continue to go on with your life as best you can. You have to. You have no choice. You know that. But as your mom says, we'll meet again when the time is supposed to be. You're not supposed to be there yet. But when it is time, she'll be coming for you, that's for sure. But she tells me she has to pull back because I can only limit myself because of the program. But certainly your mom and dad embrace you with love, your mom especially, and the other people that are there, and certainly ask that you continue to pray for them until we all meet again. And with that, they sign off, and there they go.
Very good. Laura, listening to us on KVGC in California, hopefully that experience was worthwhile for you?
Well, yes.
What's your response?
I'm a little shocked because he kind of nailed everything.
Oh, okay.
My mother.
Well, your mom did. I'm just the instrument.
George, thank you so much. God
thank
bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
All right. We'll be back.
Thank
and everything
you so
old
much.
Is we'll be back. Everything old is new again right after this.
You're listening to Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
You're back on Everything Old is New Again. This is Douglas Viviani here with David Cohen and George Anderson. We just completed a reading for Laura and she's in Jackson, California, listening to us on KVGCAM. Laura, welcome back.
Thank you.
Like to see for all of us who eavesdropped into that session what it meant for you. Sometimes listening on the outside, listening to the session, you can't always connect all of the things that were going on because, of course, we don't know your circumstance and your family and so forth. But George first mentioned that there was a male presence and then two females that came into the room and then mentioned Gloria and or some kind of happy news down the road. Did that begin to make sense for you? Did anything crystallize from that point on?
I was in shock, actually. I'm gonna be truthful from the very beginning because it was my mother that came through, and the reference of Gloria and Grace was I just became a grandmother for the second time in August, and she was spiritually there. I know she was.
He did say something about that pertains to a younger generation, his pronouncement of good news, if you remember.
Yes. And I was quite honestly very quiet because I was so shocked. I mean, he was letting me know that she was aware of the birth and that everybody was there for that, that she was there for that. And my daughter even commented, I felt like grandma was here with me. And I mean, this until it happens to you, you really just can't fathom how it rocks your world. It was a birth. She never got to meet either one of her grandchildren. I'm a grandparent for the first time. And then we went into the care of her. The fact that she spent the last 10 years, my siblings and I cared for her and my father. My father passed first. And it wasn't under the best circumstances that he passed. So when... That kind of brings this up to the major thing that really hit me hard with this reading was that she wanted to bless me for the caring that I gave her. I was the daughter that bathed and cut her hair. But when he said, and she got adamant about it, she's back to her old self.
Right.
So that brings me to the major thing that happened for me in this is the last days of her life were really rough. And the last couple days, I woke up on my birthday and I decided I need a break. I need to go home. I need to take care of myself. And I sat down next to her bed and she was unconscious for the daytime and she'd have wake periods at night. But she was unconscious and I sat next to her bed and I told her, Mom, I don't know how I know this, but Dad's not mad at you. He's healthy. He's whole. And he's waiting there for you to pass over back to himself. My dad wasn't a well man when he was on the earth. So when she said, I'm back to my old self and then got kind of pissy with George about that, it was like, you have to say that because verbatim what I said to her, you're going to pass over, Mom. Dad will be there. Your mom, your dad, all your family's waiting for you.
And so when he said, see, like sometimes these simple messages that are presented don't really mean much to us listening, but you're saying to yourself, the words back to your old self had significance. And as you said, George was saying, or himself, he was even saying, oh, so that's just a basic message. But to you, certainly you're saying that that had a special significance based on the conversation you had with your mom in the last days that she was here.
Yes. Well, And then, like, right after that, he reaffirmed to me that I didn't abandon her, because that was the last conversation I had with her. Died 2 days later. I was coming back, but she died before I got the chance to get there.
So you're saying you had gone back on your birthday and you'd gone back to your own home and so forth for a day or two, and then she passed, and you're thinking that maybe she thought you felt that you abandoned her in the last moments.
Well, because for the last years I've been saying, God, Mom, I didn't mean to ditch out on you, you know, and that was...
Well, so you're saying you did have that thought in your mind.
Oh, my gosh.
I see.
Oh, my gosh, for years. I mean, that's why I'm so rattled, because stuff I said to her, nobody else was around to hear this. Nobody.
So when he said the business about, you know, your mom saying to you that you did not abandon her again, that's, again, from the outside looking in, that's kind of a general statement that kind of, you know, it's nice and people hear it and it doesn't resonate. But you're saying, again, to you, that resonated significantly because you've been thinking about that since that day, I guess is what you're saying.
Yes. I mean, when I got there on the 26th, all I could do was drop to my knees and say, thank God you made it, Mom. Thank God you made it. She was extremely fearful. He nailed that. He was extremely fearful. And that's why I had the conversation with her that I had, because I knew she was afraid. I mean, she held on, but her biggest fear was because my dad got more so as he got older. We had to move my mom out of the house. So when my dad came in, which is a few questions later, about he wish he'd been closer, he wasn't a well man when he was here. And he was, let me just say, my mother was like a candy that he was addicted to, if that makes sense. And so he just literally lived off of my mother. And 9 months after we moved my mother out of the house, my father died. So she felt very guilty for that and was fearful that he would be there to reprimand and, you know, she was afraid of dying because, well, what did she have to look forward to? She had to meet my dad, who would be mad at her.
Right. And then, but then the message that you got, just turning back to the first part you said, that I'll revisit this for a moment because I think it's interesting. When the words actually come out that there's nothing to fear but fear itself, and that, you know, going, passing away is like going from one room to the next, and that she could do it, right? She could do it in her, I think something like she could do it in her sleep, or she could do it with no problem again.
Yeah, she could do it with her eyes closed, because that's my mom's sense of humor right there.
See that?
I mean, I don't know if you can hear me laughing, but that was my mom's sense of humor.
But
I
also mean, the business about not being afraid of dying. What you're saying is your mom, in some ways, had that fear, and I would suggest we all do. But you know, had that fear that was voiced to you in some manner, and now when it was voiced back to you as a mirror, let's say through George, again, a somewhat innocent statement that, again, a third one, if we can say that, that makes sense to you, that had significant about the idea of the fear, because there was some discussion, or at least feelings about that you were aware of.
She was totally afraid. She was, that's why she held on so hard. The worst part is that, and he nailed it again with her, you know, there was no cure or anything for what I could, nothing that I could have done would have changed what was happening to her.
Right.
And the worst part about it was that her mind was sharp as a tack. It was her body that gave out.
And that's what he did say something about. Yeah, you did all you could do, but it was limited. And not to say anything negative about you. We're all limited. And certainly there's a time when everyone has to pass. So you did what you could do, is what he was saying, that she was saying to you. And sort of to maybe make you feel, if you had that twinge of guilt or pain, to help you relieve that as well, I guess.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
So how could we say something like, going into this, I would presume you've not had this kind of experience before. Let's say that. So we all rely upon our intellect and our faith, if we have faith and spirituality and so forth. Did this affect you or confirm anything or deny anything? What conclusion, if I could say that, could you make from this this reading?
You're never alone. They're always here with you. If you need them, they're here. I mean, within 20 minutes of talking to George, I had confirmation of there is life after death. I'm hoping that this opens other people's minds to the possibility that, you know, we aren't alone, you know, and not to be scared about it either. Right. It's not creepy.
Exactly. It's the as George describes in many of his books, it's the next stage of life. It's the next thing we move on to. And I think he also left you with the idea, and he does this with many people, that, okay, you know, they'll be with you when it's all time for us, let's say, to move on, which we know are moving on to the next phase at some point in time. It's just a question of how we perceive that here, maybe, that affects us, how we move on, like Mom was afraid and so forth. And now maybe we are able to widen our horizons a little bit, at least with a healthy skepticism, but makes it something when we hear your story and your reading and hear the explanation of these rather innocent statements that have had and are significant to you in your life, we can then look to that as some sense of maybe we should raise an eyebrow. Maybe we should, you know, at least listen to our hearts and now what we hear with our ears, and possibly consider that there certainly is life after death, and that who we love don't go anywhere. They're still with us in spirit and in thoughts, and as long as we think about them, they're not too far away from us.
Oh, yeah. And then he did get the name Anna.
Right.
Annie. My mother's middle name was Anna, and she named my sister after her.
And your so what's your sister's name? Is your sister's name have the Anna in it as well, or Anna?
Anna. She has the exact same name.
Huh. And do you feel that this leaves you then with a little easier nighttime when we're all alone before we go to sleep or something like that? You feel a little more sense of comfort and confidence.
Oh, yes, I do. It what gave me great comfort was to know that my dad was there with her.
And we certainly thank you for your time and congratulations on winning the contest, if you will.
Oh, and thank you. Thank you. I cannot tell you, Douglas and David, how much I appreciate this opportunity. I've been kind of sitting in my own little corner for a while, and I think it's time to speak up. So
great.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. It's a little piece that we can try to spread some smiles, which we're trying to do through the airwaves, and certainly to you on KVGC. We're there every Saturday and Sunday nights at 6 o'clock. So feel free to hear us, and we won't be strangers. And even though we're a distance away, our voices will meet.
Like I said, I can't thank you enough for this opportunity.
Excellent. I'm happy to make you happy, and I'm glad we do something positive once in a while here on Everything Old Is New Again. Feel free to spread the word. Thank you so much for
We are the lucky ones. We shine like a thousand suns.
You're listening to Everything Old Is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Welcome to Everything Old Is New Again. We're back. That's the theme of, if you haven't seen that movie, Heaven Can Wait with Warren Beatty. We're playing that and having some fun with George Anderson, trying to experience an eavesdrop as an audience into some readings that Mr. Anderson is doing for us for the first time on the radio since approximately 1978-79, WBAB, George Martin back in the day. I remember listening to that show when I was a kid. If we are now with our next guest, we would just say, P, welcome aboard. So we'll start up a reading and eavesdrop away.
Okay, so let's begin and see who comes to visit. Okay, immediately a male presence comes forward with another one, and two females show up as well. Male came forward, so I take you understand, yes?
I understand, yes,
yeah.
That's correct.
Don't explain, but there was talk of a younger male, understood? There's a flock of people around you, because I just don't want them to feel, because I'm assuming something, that I'm ignoring them. But they do claim to be your grandparents.
Okay.
And I take it all your grandparents have passed.
Yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're all around you. Also, male presence does come as dad, yes?
Yes.
Somebody said he was your actual dad. But then somebody said husband and dad, understood? There's also talk of him being with your mom, understood?
But, yes.
But so she has passed too, as I'm being told.
Yes.
They also don't explain. They also brought up the loss of a brother, but claimed he's an uncle. Now, my first assumption is to assume one of your folks lost a brother slash brother-in-law. But both your parents so far coming in with your grandparents and an uncle. I can't remember if I said this already, because there's also talk of loss of a sister. Understood?
That I understand.
Yeah, but she did pass young, yes? Yeah, because this is... No, I don't think I said this already. I must have heard it and then got distracted with something else and... Fortunately, it came back. She does seem to come to you as a sister, though, yes? In the sense that you can identify her with her as such. In other words, I'm assuming she's your aunt.
Yes.
You know, but there with your folks.
Yes.
But the reason she kind of confused me a little bit because she stands out as definitely have passing young. I hope this is true. It does seem as though you have nice parents.
Yes.
Because, unfortunately, many times doing sessions, many of the sessions are horror stories. And yours feels blessed.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, that this has nothing to do with religion, but I saw the Holy Ghost in front of me, which would be symbolic that you came from a blessed home.
I did.
One thing that's nice here, too, your parents always loved each other and still do. So,
yes, absolutely.
You had loving parents toward each other also, which over there they've come to realize how uniquely important that is for children to see. Because
sure.
Your parents do call out to children slash grandchildren. So I have to like assume they have them or you know what
yes.
they mean. There's people around. There's a male around you. I take it you have a spouse, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, because there's a male around you claiming to be like father-in-law. Understood?
Yes.
Yeah, that obviously spoke of his son. I take it your spouse is still here.
No.
Then then that's why he's speaking of his son. Wait a minute. Didn't he bring this up already? Oh, okay. Maybe I should have given you enough time. Somebody over there brought up the loss of a child. Even though your husband may not have been a child, it's still his dad's child.
Right.
So apparently is there with them. The actual loss of a son, but your spouse. And he, I didn't even realize it, he also, along with your dad, must have repeated to me husband and dad.
Okay.
Either your husband passed young or young at heart.
Yes.
Because definitely from over there, I get a young feeling with him. I hope this is true. It does seem you had a nice marriage, yes? There's always ups and downs, but he hopes you'll agree with him that there were many more ups as opposed to downs.
Yes.
Now, your husband's passing kind of comes out of left field, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, because I almost feels like I'm not anticipating it. Just wants to make sure you know you could not have saved him. Understood?
Yes.
Because as he puts it, if he wasn't supposed to be there, they would have sent his rear end back.
Yes.
I think this is a symbol, has nothing to do with religion, but I saw St. Patrick appear. If the name Pat Patrick doesn't mean anything, St. Patrick is symbolic, like, of blessings that would stand out. So it seems to be affecting one of your children, because your husband brings up about abundance and blessings coming to one of them. Don't expect it tomorrow, but in the not-too-distant future, it comes to pass. Also, did hear the name John, too. Understood?
Yes.
But passed on?
Yes.
Actually, more than one? It sounded like somebody came forward and told me the name was John, but then I heard John, Johnny, Jack. Now, there's people that still call me Georgie, so I guess it's possible. But in any case, John draws very close to you. And puts a big sweetheart over your head. And that can be a symbol of love and affection, but it can also mean I'm very fond of you. Also, you may have to think on this. I thought I heard the name... I couldn't tell if I heard the name Rose?
Yes.
or Ruth. Understood?
Yes.
Don't tell me. I don't know which one is correct. I can't tell if I heard Rose or Ruth, but definitely passed on. Understood?
Yes.
And certainly seems to be in the crowd over there. You don't have to correct me. You know which one is correct.
Yes.
Might not have expected her to show up, but seems thrilled that you recognized her. Your husband brings up his passing was pretty quick, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, because, again, he shows me the ballpark, which would tell me it comes out of left field. You might feel you didn't have a proper chance to say goodbye to him, but as he brings up, there are no goodbyes here. Yes, he's not with you physically, as naturally you would prefer, but he does kid with you that you do talk to him a great deal of the time. So apparently you do feel his presence, and it prompts you to speak to him, because he does insist he's closer to you than you can imagine. Don't feel bad if you don't get that, because I don't get it either. But that's what they say. Someday I'm sure we'll find out. But as your husband brings up, ultimately, until we learn it for ourselves, we just don't know. But one thing he does thank you for many years of a happy and joyous marriage. And certainly does tell me he had a fulfilling life. He does tell me he passed on a very wealthy man. He does not mean money in the bank. The only regrets he has, and this is like a message for everybody. Don't put things off to a future that may never come. He's not encouraging anybody to put themselves in hock. But for example, if you were planning a trip, you know, somebody could say, oh, we'll wait till I retire or whatever. That time may never come.
Sure.
And then you lose out on that memory that could have been created and will live forever. Don't help me. I thought I heard the name Ed. Understood?
Yes.
But passed on?
Yes.
Does come as family, so I'm sure he is somehow.
Yes.
There was something. Also did hear the name Al. Wait a minute. No, it sounds now more like Alice. Understood?
Yes.
But passed on?
Yes.
But I think with this, because I know we're restricted here time-wise, but certainly he embraces you with love along with your folks. Understood?
Yes.
But any case, certainly embraces you with love. Did hear the name George, too. Claims to be there with your husband. So if you're not sure, I'll just leave it with you for the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just leave it with you. Can't remember everybody in 5 seconds. I couldn't do it either. But in any case, your folks and his and your husband, certainly your husband calling out to family and such, and just know he's all right and back to his old self until we meet again. You do have that to look forward to, because when your time comes, he'll be there to welcome you over. You're soulmates, and you'll hook up again.
Okay.
And with that, he pulls back, and the others do too, and there they go.
Pam from Connecticut, thank you very much for your time. We'll follow up with you about the reading. And just was it somewhat helpful to you? What was your experience like?
There were some things that were spot on.
How about that?
Like the names in particular.
Great. What we'll do is we'll follow up with you, if you don't mind, at a later day. Maybe I'll shoot you a note tonight or tomorrow and send you a copy of what was said. And we're here on Everything Old is New Again, enjoying some time with George Anderson. If you want to hear and set up your own reading, go to georgeanderson.com, georgeanderson.com. You don't have to be in the state of New York. You can do this over the telephone, because we're doing it right here and live and in person. On Everything Old is New Again, we'll be back right after this. Thank you very much, Pam, for your time.
Enjoy.
This is Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
All right, welcome back to Everything Old is New Again. We are with Pam from Connecticut, just finished her reading with George Anderson. I'm just curious, we're going to do a little debriefing here to see, because as we look from the outside looking in, it's hard to put the pieces together all the time as to whether there was some connection there or not. So, Pam, welcome back.
Thank you.
Somebody that came through is husband and dad, and a younger male that passed, I guess we could say, passed quickly or quick passing and came out of left field. Did that make any sense to you?
Yes, it did. I actually lost my husband quite suddenly. He was 36 years old.
Wow.
And
it was very, very quick, very sudden, and as you would say, very out of left field.
Right. He then later on said something to the nature of hopefully that you don't regret the fact that you really didn't have any ability, you know, and don't think about the idea that you couldn't have changed those circumstances.
Right. He George said, you know, he wants you to know that you couldn't have saved him. He said that twice. And he also said that I shouldn't feel badly that there wasn't really time to say goodbye.
Right.
And this was the sort of passing that obviously at 36 years old was not planned, was not anticipated, and really there was no chance to say goodbye.
So in other words, you weren't in his presence when he passed, so that's what I guess is
no,
what he's
I was
referring
not.
To. Right.
So. I was not.
Interesting. Boy, I'm sorry for your loss. That's difficult. Turning on that, he did indicate someone, I don't know if it was another sweetheart or not, but he did indicate a John that was, he mentioned the term sweetheart, I don't know how, symbol or something
like
that.
And that was
nature.
My husband. My husband was John.
All right, so that's amazing that he got the name right off the bat. That's really grounds it some way, doesn't it?
You could have knocked me over with a feather, and then he went further to say the name Ed.
Right.
And Ed was John's father.
Oh, wow.
Also passed, but and he mentioned Ed as, I believe he said, someone in the crowd
right.
that had lost a son. So that, and I do believe he identified him as my father-in-law.
Right, he eventually did. He did do that. You're right. Wow. So that really puts it together for us as listeners. You know, we don't know these connections. It's amazing. How about he mentioned an Alice and a Rose or a Ruth? Anything with those names?
You know, he said it's either Rose or Ruth. I had one aunt. Her name was Ruth. Wow. I was very, very fond of her. He did say that she passed young. And she did pass young, but she was only 53 or 54 when she passed.
Wow.
Which is pretty much, you know.
And if you were listening, I think, yeah, that's listen, I'm 55,
that's
young to me.
That's young.
Exactly. But now let's put it together. That was the loss of, he had mentioned a, quote, sister, but then he said an aunt-type person. So now if you put... I assume that you're thinking that's the same person that it was referring to
right.
in the earlier part of the reading.
Yes.
Interesting.
Absolutely. And, you know, I am an only child, and my mother was an only child, and my father only had one sister. So I only had one aunt.
And there she is. That's amazing.
And there she is. And then with that, at the end, he said, Al, who was my father, and then he changed it to Alice, and... I have a daughter who is named for Al.
And is her name, I mean, is her, too much detail, but is her name Alice or?
Her name is Allison.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's amazing. So we can kind of interpret that as either being your dad or your dad speaking about your daughter or a combination thereof.
Exactly.
Wow.
So when I tell you he was really spot on with the names.
See, now that kind of gets me. Like, we've talked off the air before we started this second section of the show with you, and I said, and I may have said this on the air previously, when you hear the messages from the outside looking in, the initial impression is maybe okay. They're kind of general messages and so on, you know. But then when you get to the point of naming names, and now we're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, or possibly 5, we were saying Alan Allison is 2, you know, because he did mention both.
Right.
But at least let's stick with 4. 4 out of 4 names correctly and none wrong, so to speak. He didn't say spot, you know, or whatever, the name, and it not be someone, right? So
sometimes you see them on TV and it's like, do you know a Joey, a Jimmy, a Johnny? And
right.
And they keep going until they find the correct fit. This was, I mean, no information about me. Wasn't even in my presence, really, except for a phone line.
Right.
And somehow could conjure up exact names of not distant relatives. These are people that, you know, it's like my husband, my father, my, you know.
Right.
My,
and with
my one aunt.
Exactly. But with respect, I don't think he could speak to anyone that calls in and say, oh, I see a young gentleman, your husband, that passed away young. Like, that's not going to fit a lot of people,
right.
So it's not like something
right.
he could just kind of, and then say, by the way, I hear the name John with the sweetheart. So it all comes, like, that is something that almost, if you really, to me, runs chills up your spine. You go, how does he get four out of four names, the circumstances of passing away, and of course, your aunt, which she also mentioned, specifics about you being close to her and so forth as a motherly type of figure, and come up with her name. So how does that, how does that leave you when you're coming out of this experience? Does it put icing on the cake of the feelings you already thought you had? Does it change your perspective? Does it add? Does it do nothing? What did this, if you can, define for us, what kind of conclusion or effect did this have upon you?
You know, as a professional skeptic, I'm not really quite sure how this leaves me. I mean, one question, and I have to laugh to myself, is where was my mother in all of this? Because, you know, he didn't bring up my mother, and out of all of them, my mother was probably the one with the strongest personality.
Right.
So for her not to be named,
right.
I'm kind of curious, like, what happened to my mother?
Right. He did mention something about dad with mom there, but you're right, he didn't mention names
right.
and didn't go into detail at all about that, true.
Yeah, and he also said that, you know, even though there was no time for goodbye, that I shouldn't worry about it because he'll be there to help me cross over when it's right, when the time is right. And, you know, I've remarried, so you sort of say to yourself, like, what's the seating arrangement for Thanksgiving?
I'll tell you, not to be silly about it, or not to puff his books or whatever, but if you read a book of his called Lessons from the Light, he does conclude and give you some idea about what he feels. And we've had him on the show three times previously, not doing readings, just interpreting questions, exactly what you're talking about here. And so
right.
there are some answers from his perspective. Let's have a healthy level of skepticism here, but he does put it together and make sense of it for you. There's no jealousy. There's no feelings of that nature. So it's all one love fest, or whatever I want to say, something silly. But
yeah, it's a different arrangement than it is here.
Correct. So it wouldn't be something that would be a problem, so to speak, from our perspective, you know, and our emotions and our, sometimes we've got negative and emotions, even just jealousies or whatever, that we think are small emotions. They seem to be wiped away if we're in the right place when we move on. So, but that being said, I mean, these are topics that I don't think we'll know until we go there, but the idea that four out of four names and ways people have passed away and so forth, in 15 minutes, let's give him a break too. I mean, he only had 15 minutes to go through
yeah.
all of that, you know. It wasn't like he had hours, you know, to explore.
No, and it kind of like, you know, you say to yourself, gee, maybe I should give him an hour or so.
Right.
And see what he comes up with.
Right. But at least...
It's a really interesting thing.
We would say that it opened the door for you to, as a skeptic even, to say, what? You certainly can't say no after that, right? Consider
no,
what's happening.
You certainly can't.
Yeah.
You really can't, you know.
And you're saying you almost...
You almost wanted to
in some way, because you're saying you're a, quote, professional skeptic, right? So in some ways you wanted to do that, and now you come out of it and you sort of, I guess you'd say we scratch our head a little bit, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, in the beginning I was kind of like, yeah, you know, he was sort of, you know, this one's here and that one's here. But then it just, it got too specific to ignore.
Right.
Too specific to brush it off. As luck or chance or
great. Well,
enlightening.
There you go. That's a good way to put it. And Pam from Connecticut, thank you so much for taking the time to have the reading with us, of course, but in addition to take the time and to explore this with us and let us know a little bit behind the scenes from your perspective, a little bit about your life and how it connects with this reading. I think it does give us some perspective and really helps us to kind of understand or try to understand what just went on.
Yeah, I'm anxious to hear how the other people who also had the reading.
Yeah, and I would encourage you, and thank you for that free advertisement, to go ahead and listen to all of our shows on Everything Old Is New Again, because what we're going to do is we've had a number of these, and I've experienced, there's nine, and I would say at least seven, closer to eight out of nine, are extraordinary readings. And one is not bad, but it's just very general messages. But eight out of nine, I would say, he gets so specific, as he did with with you and differently in different circumstances and different life experiences and, of course, different types of people and different types of events that went on. So it's not like you could say, oh, they're all the same. He does this all the time. It's
exactly.
Very unique and very specific to these people and their lives. And people show sometimes that they didn't even think about, haven't thought about for 20, 30 years. And they go, wait a minute, holy smokes, that's unbelievable. So to tune into it, because I think you really get a kick out of hearing these other readings as well.
I will. Do we have an air date for that yet?
I will. What we're going to do is we're going to tease everybody, and we're going to divide these shows up into probably 5 shows and play them once a month in between all of our regular pop culture entertainment talk shows fun. So you'll have to stay tuned, but it will definitely be in the new year. Exactly.
All right.
Thank you very much, Pam, for Connecticut.
And very good. Thank you.